All right, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And welcome to another week. This week's reading was Vayaki, and he lived. It's Genesis chapter 48, verse 28 through chapter 50, verse 26, and it concludes the book of Bereshit. We also had 1 Kings, the Haftorah portion, chapter 2, 1 through 12. And I pulled out from the apostolic scriptures 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. So as we begin, it says the introduction. We have come to the end of our first Torah book, Bereshit, or Genesis. And a great deal has happened over the course of about 2,300 years. Yet if we think about it, we have been given very little information for having that much time pass. The book of Shemot, or Exodus, slows us way down to give us some time to learn where we came from. However, we see that all Israel, all 12 tribes, had quickly taken on the look and the way of life of the Egyptians, and the Canaanites did not even recognize their brethren. Genesis chapter 50, verses 10 through 11. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with very great and grievous lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians." Therefore the place was named Abel Mizraim, and it is beyond the Jordan. Now think of this here for just a second. You had Jacob, he'd come down, you know, the famine was there. Jacob came down to Joseph, who saved him, and multitude of others with everything. And Jacob lived there for 17 years. Okay? And so he had brought all his 70 people down with him when he first got there. And I'm sure by now, after 17 years, there was a few more than 70 people. Okay? And so as he dies, he's telling Joseph, "I do not bury me here. Take me up and bury me where my fathers were buried." And so that's what they did. They took him back up to the land that Abraham had purchased. And so they got there, and then they're mourning, and they're weeping, and they're crying. And the Canaanites look, and he says, "These are Egyptians." Think about that. In 17 years, the family of Jacob lost their identity. They were now looked upon as... Is there something wrong with the microphone? Is it okay? I don't know. Can you hear me all right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I just ducked my head a little bit or something. Okay. But after 17 years, the family of Jacob had lost their identity. They didn't look like they once looked. And the Canaanites said, "These are Egyptians." They thought they were looking at Egyptians. Well, how would one person think they would be looking at Egyptians? Well, the first and obvious thing is how they dressed, right? They were probably wearing the clothes of the Egyptians. Looked a lot like them. Second thing, might have been haircuts. Okay? Did they have a shaved head? Does it cut a certain way? You know, so what form did they had taken on so people would look at them and think they're Egyptians? Okay? But then does that limit everything that you're at? Okay? Does that say what you are? It's going to be based on your actions as well. Not only do you have to look the part, but you have to have the same actions. And so they were acting like the Egyptians. And so it only took them 17 years to lose that identity. Not too long, did it? And that's kind of a strange thing to think about. They were so sold out, and they were children of Jacob, right? They had their identity. They knew who they were, but they lost it so quickly. You know, identity to us is very important. You know, we have a certain identity at work. We have a certain identity here in the synagogue. We have a certain identity with our families, things like that, right? We have all these different ways that people look at us each and every day. Okay, you have your friends, you have different groups. Okay, and so let's get into that for just a second. You have different groups with their identity. You have Catholicism, and they have their identity. Okay, and that's focused around the Pope. Okay, then you have Christianity, And a lot of, and I'm grouping this all together, so it's not one whole thing. But their identity is, we're saved under grace, and we don't have to follow Torah. Okay? And then you have other religion. You have the Jewish religion. Okay? And, well, whose rabbi are you following is what it comes down to. Okay? Who are they listening to? And that's their identity. But then you have the Muslims. You have the Shiites and the Sunnis. You have all, but they have their own identity. Okay? When you come to Messianic Judaism, there's our identity. It is messed up, guys. It is. Okay? We have no identity in this movement. You have the Messianic Judaism movement. You have the Hebrew Roots movement. You have the two house, the one house, the no house, the Hebrew Christian, the Christian Hebrew, the you name it. Everybody has a different mindset, a different thought. There's no identity, okay, in the movement. And so that creates a problem when it comes to who are you in Yeshua. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about, identity, because it's quickly we can lose that identity. Now, we look at Israel today. What's going on in Israel? Okay? United States were just a bunch of idiots and didn't vote over certain things 2 weeks ago, right? Now, what's going to happen now? The Palestinians are going to come in and say, hey, we're not even going to recognize you as a country. Right? You don't even exist. But that's what they want. And that's what they've always wanted. And now they've been given the ability to do just that. All right, so it's not going to get better there. It's going to get worse. And so they're going to lose their identity. And how does Israel lose their identity? They give away their land. Okay, for peace, we'll give you this section. That'll be yours. Just don't bother us. Don't shoot your weapons at us. Don't strike us with missiles. We'll give you this land right here, and that'll be it. That'll be it. And so they'll piecemeal their identity away. And that's what's been done over courses of many, many years. Okay? So then you say, well, how can we lose our identity? Right? Well, that's pretty easy. Do we have one? Okay? We should have one. Absolutely, we should have one. But I'll tell you where identity comes from, where we've been. What have we come out of? Because each one of us come out of a different way of life, a different mindset, a different religion, if you want to call it that. And we have a different thought process. And so if we're coming out of that, we still bring a piece of that with us. Okay? You come out of Judaism, you bring the rabbinical training with you. Okay, well, this rabbi says such and such and such and such. You come out of Christianity, I'm saved by grace. I don't need to do Torah. Yeah. Right? We have all these different mindsets that we try to blend into this movement, and it makes it really messy. So we really don't have an identity. So what identity were we trying to go to? Well, I would tell you, be like Messiah. Be like Messiah. That's easy, right? It sounds so good. Yes, I can do that. Be like Messiah. How do you do that? What does that look like? How do we go? Well, first of all, you have to know Messiah. You have to know him. If you don't know him, how can you be like him? I mean, I was told a couple years ago, you know, you could read a book all day long, a big, thick, 700-page book about President Obama and know all about him, right? But would you know him? No, you wouldn't. You would know about him, and you would only know about him with what that person wanted to tell you about him. You wouldn't know him. Okay? And so we can read this Bible that has all these pages about Messiah in it, and we can know all about him all day, but do you know him? That's a different question. Okay? Because people, I talk to people all the time that can quote scripture after scripture, sometimes books and chapters. Okay? And I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Do you know anything you just said? They're like, well, yeah. Well, then I ask them questions, and they don't have answers. They just quote the scripture. I'm like, that's troubling to me. Okay? They can quote it, but they don't know it. And so that tells me they don't know Messiah. And so I would tell you this. Messiah himself, Yeshua, is the Word of God. And what's the Word of God? The Torah. Right? I mean, it says in 1 John, the Word was God, the Word was with God, and that was from the beginning, right? And then it says in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? And so he's the Word of God. He's the Torah. The Torah. So if you try to do away from the Torah, aren't you doing away with Yeshua? Or at least a part of him?
Yeah.
Right. And who are we to do such a thing? Who are we to say no to Torah when he's the Torah? If we do, we are rejecting Messiah. And so then we have, okay, what's Messiah? He's a Torah. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's where we get into a lot of debates. Because the Christian church says, well, if you do the Old Testament, you've gone back under the law. Right? And now you're in trouble. You've lost your salvation. Okay? And I'm like, what do you mean gone back under the law? I said, there's only 613 commandments in the Old Testament that I can follow. And this is what I tell them. I said, but when there's no tabernacle, there's about 271. And they say, well, what? And I said, do you know there's over 1,200 in the New Testament? So I ask them, who's under the law? And they're like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Right? But we have to know our Messiah. Okay? And we have to know who he is. And so we talk about, and I hear Christians a lot, and I'm not knocking them down or saying anything bad. This is their mindset, and I'm trying to bring it out to you guys, okay? They say, our life is hidden in Messiah. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to have our lives hidden in Messiah? Well, it means that you're doing Torah, because he's Messiah, and he's Torah. And so if they look at you, they see Torah, and they're not seeing you. They see Torah. And when they see Torah, your life is now hidden in Messiah, because Messiah is Torah. So you're walking this out, so now your life is hidden. You have your identity. And what's your identity? It's Messiah. Because you're walking it out. And so people have this. So now you have your identity. But we don't do that. Now, this last week is a really good example of some of the things my family went through with a lot of different things, okay, about identity issues and people with belief and, oh, I believe in strength. And it's not just one family that I was dealing with this week. It was many different things that I had seen from talking to many different people. And so it was really hard for me this week. And I was telling Julian at the break, I said, I wrote this sermon probably 4 weeks ago, and I haven't looked at it since. Okay, I looked at it this morning to print out the notes, but that's about what I had, right? But I lived that out, this sermon, this identity issue this week with a bunch of people, okay? I had people that claimed to be strong in Messiah, and they weren't. They were weak, and they fell tremendously fast. I had other people that said they had belief in Messiah, and they treated people terribly. They were negative. They were complainers. They would nitpick. They would pick people out of a group just to go after them because they didn't like something they saw that person or saw in that person. And I'm like, and you call yourself a believer? I'm like, this is crazy. Do you know who you're supposed to be and who you're and what you're supposed to be doing? And people were just, it was a terrible week for a lot of people, okay? I had a leader of a church group just fall, couldn't stand, couldn't walk, had to have help out of fear. And yet he was a strong believer, and he fell. And so I saw all these things going on, and I'm like, what is going on? And I thought, you know, Ephesians 4:18 came up. It says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. Okay? That's what's happening with people. Our hearts are being hardened, and we don't know this. Even believers. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. Okay? I'm not questioning people's salvation. I'm not going anywhere near that topic. Okay? All right? I'm talking about when you're in God and you believe in him, these things are happening to believers. Okay? And so you have people that are falling and they're hurting, and it's because they don't understand. They try to justify not doing Torah. They try to say, oh, we don't have to anymore, or we don't, you know, whatever it is that you're being taught, it's not correct according to the Bible. Okay? And it's not, if you're doing away with Torah, you're then doing away with Yeshua. Now, that always bothers me. Okay? And so we should really look at when other people say they're a believer, or when they're leaders of groups, or when they're all this. You should look at their actions and their behaviors, because that will show you where their heart is. Again, I don't question salvation. That's under the Lord's. But you know where their heart is based on their actions. And Yeshua says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And he's not saying the new commandments in the New Testament. He's saying the commandments in the old, because he didn't have New Testament at his time. Okay? And John, when John says, this is love, if you obey my commandments. I mean, all the way through Scripture, we see that it's these commandments. If you're loving, you're doing Torah. And that's the amazing thing that we have to understand. But we don't. And people don't. Okay? And it happened everywhere I looked this week. And then I thought, James chapter 4, verse 4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. So I look back and I see these things, and I see these believers claiming to be believers, but yet they look exactly like the world. Exactly like the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. They dress like the world. They comb their hair like the world. They are of the world. They're no different. The only thing that's different is saying, I believe in Yeshua, or I believe in Jesus, or that's the only difference. Okay? I have some Jewish people I know. They don't wear tzitzits, and they don't go to the synagogue, and they just look exactly like the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. And they say, but I'm Jewish. How would you know if they don't say I'm Jewish? How would you know if they're a believer if they don't say, I believe in Jesus? How would you know? You don't. Because they're an adulterous people. It's all about themselves and what's comfortable and what feels good and what you want. And like I said, they pick and choose who they want to get after. They pick and choose who they blacklist. They pick and choose who they want to bug. This is the way it's going throughout. I saw this all this last week, and it makes me sad. So I had a person come up to me this week and says, okay, Paul, you're talking about the world and being in the world. How do you not look like the world anymore? I said, well, that's a good question. I said, start doing Torah. I go, you don't have to do it all at once, and you don't have to do it all right. But start somewhere. And start doing the Torah. And start acting like the Torah. And start being the Torah. And you'll get better. I said, if you pick one thing every month in a year, you'll have 12 new things. And then the next year, you'll have 12 more. And pretty soon, in 2 years, you don't look like you first did. Okay, it's not an overnight, all of a sudden process. You sell all your clothes and you buy these long shirts and go through a whole wardrobe change. You don't do that. Okay, you just slowly change. You change what you eat. But you don't do it all at once. You just kind of move away from things. And it's, Rabbi is always talking about, it's a work in progress. Okay, we're not all going to get it all right all the time. Now, there'll be times we get it right, and man, that feels good. But there's other times we're almost there. We're like, well, I almost got there. Yeah, I'm getting closer. You know, other times we'd say, oh, I'm just not going to do it. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I'm whatever. I'm grumpy. I don't want to like you today, so I'm not going to. Right? We get that way. Come on. Or is it just me? It's just me? Okay. Well, come on. I don't like you. Right? So in order to not look like the world, you have to just start doing Torah. Just start doing it. And it's easier said than done. So go to 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. So, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Now, man, if you can't hear the Shema in there, okay, and you can't hear all the times he was telling Abraham, just do the commandments, just, you know, and you can think of when Moses wrote it down, the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all these things, all the times he says, just follow my testimonies, do the ways I teach you, do, you know, and it will go well with you. I mean, I hear Torah all the way through that. But then when I get to the first part of this, it says, be strong and show yourself a man. Well, I look back and I remember when I was growing up, a question I had for my dad was, Dad, when do you become a man? I didn't know. It was a question I had for my dad. I was big and I was taller than everybody else in my class and I was getting older and I'm invincible. Well, so I thought, right? Ernie doesn't know anything about that, I'm sure, right? But we have a problem, especially boys, probably more so than women. I've talked to Barb about this, and they were like, no, we don't tend to have that. You know, when you become a woman, it's not that big a thing, but for men, it is a bigger issue, okay? And so it's like, when do you become a man? And so it's like, well, the Torah says, be a man. And then it says, follow Torah. Do Torah. Okay, and I was like, you mean it took me till I'm 47 to finally learn when I'm a man? And that's, I have to do Torah? No, I mean, that's not the way it is. But in order to do Torah, you have to be a man. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have these young kids nowadays, 15, 20, somewhere in there, that they go around and they can have a child, right? Little boys, young men can have children, but it takes a man to raise the child, right? Women know that real well. And the boy runs. The boy doesn't want to have anything to do with it. They say, oh, no, I'm not a part of this, right? But a man will say, okay, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to be a dad to this child. And that's what a man will do. Well, that's the same thing in Torah. A man will stand up and say, okay, I'm going to follow Torah. That's what I'm going to do. I got to be strong because it's not an easy walk. Okay, so the Torah says, don't eat shellfish, don't eat pork. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so your dad sits down next to you with a bowl of shrimp and a lobster tail, wrapped in bacon, by the way, right? And he's eating it on purpose right next to you, and you're saying, I can't have it. Well, why not? And he starts picking on you, right? You have to be a man to stand there and say, I'm just not going to do it. No matter if he picks on you, no matter if he says, well, you're not my son, you're not this, you starts getting on you for not eating like he does. It takes a strong person to stand there and say, I'm going to follow the Bible, right? What about tzitzit? A very simple rule, okay? It takes a lot of strength to wear them. Oh, I can't wear them to this function. Oh, I can't wear them to that. What are they going to say? Oh, I'll look out of place. It takes somebody strong to stand up and say, no, I'm going to do it. And that's what it's talking about here. Be strong, be a man. But I'm telling you, women, don't think you're out of it. Okay? And kids, don't think you're out of it. All right? You have to follow Torah too. You know why? Because Miss Sharon really likes this verse I'm getting ready to read. You ready? You guys ready? Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 10 through 13, it says, you are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourners, oh, strangers? Oh, no. People who aren't Jewish? Who are in your camp? From the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That pretty much includes everybody, does it not? Okay. So it takes a strong person, whether male or female, old like Rabbi. Young like the kids. Just joking, Rabbi. Right? I was going to say Gene, but anyway. I know he is. But this is for everybody. Torah is for everyone. It's not just for this person, that person, because there are many Jewish belief systems out there that say women don't have to do it. Women are exempt from the Torah. Others say, oh, just they don't have to do most of it. They just have to do these simple, single, one, two, three things. Others say, no, there's just a little bit more than that, but they still don't have to do it. I mean, there's so many different ideas about what women have to do with Torah and what they don't, okay? But Scripture is clear. It's for everybody. Everybody, whether you're an alien, you weren't born Jewish, guess what? Torah's for you, okay? You believe in Messiah, guess what? Torah's for you. You're a Jewish person, guess what? Torah's for you too, okay? Torah is for everyone, okay? And it'll be time. Yeshua will come down, and he will rule by Torah. It says so in his word, okay? So this is coming around, so just be ready. You have to follow Torah, but it takes someone who's strong to follow Torah, especially when it's not easy. Okay? We just went through a holiday season, right? Everybody was enjoying Hanukkah. Yes. But there was Christmas at the same time. How many problems did every one of us have with people celebrating Christmas, with the mindset, with the thought process? Okay? The one I liked this year, this was the one that really just came up all year long. During this time is Hanukkah is the Jewish Christmas, so it's okay to do. You can believe in Hanukkah and do that because it's okay, it's Christmas, right? It just drives me crazy, but that's their belief. So it's Christians think that Hanukkah is okay because it's a Jewish Christmas. It's the way the Jews celebrate Christmas. That's their mindset, okay? So we had a bunch of problems, you know, with it this year. Did you stand firm? Or did you go to a Christmas party and celebrate, saying, hey, Merry Christmas, everybody, and toast and glass of champagne and all? You know, what did we do? Okay, did you stay strong and say, no, I can't? Or did you join in and say, hey, let's party. It's okay to do. It takes strength to stand on truth. And sometimes that's very hard. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now that's kind of a strong little verse here, if you think about it. Okay, friends with the world. What does it mean to be friends with the world? Does it mean doing the same things they do? Talking the way they do? Dress the way they do? Okay, go where they go, right? Is it being part of it? I got to meet them where they're at, right? Yeah. I got to act just like them. That's what Paul did, right? He became like everyone, right? Right? Isn't that what Scripture says? No, that's not what Scripture says, but that's what it's intended to believe. Okay? He didn't become a sinner to meet sinners. He didn't violate Torah to meet somebody where they were to try to get them to follow Torah, because that doesn't work. Okay? Paul states in Corinthians, bad company corrupts good behavior. Okay? Well, you have, and I've told people this, they come out of something, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's drug use or anything like that, and they're on fire for the Lord, right? And they're like, I'm going to go back in and I'm going to save those people. I'm going to go back in and save the drug users. I'm going to go back in and save the homosexuals. And they're going to come out and we're going to be great. And guess what happens? Every single time they go back in, guess what? They fall back in it. Every single time. I have not seen anyone personally. I've heard of stories. I don't know, I wasn't there. But the ones I've seen have always fallen back into the previous behavior. Always. Because they thought they had to be friends with the world to win the world. And you can't do that. You have to be different. You have to stand out. You have to be like a flame for the moth that wants to come to you. And it's drawn by your behavior, not because you're going to them. God brings those he wants to you to worship to minister to. He brings them to you. You don't have to go out and get them. He brings them to you. But oftentimes, I got to do this. I got to go out there. I got to do this. And maybe God sends you out. That is true. But when we start thinking that it's me, I got to do this and I got to do that, then we get in trouble. Okay, so when we're strong with God, that means we're walking in the Word, okay? We don't give the enemy legal access to us when we follow Torah. When we violate Torah, we're saying to the enemy, yeah, here's your free pass. Come torment me. I like it. Here, let me go ahead. Especially when I purposely violate Torah. Then I say, here's your free pass. You know, pass go, collect $200, come harass me. You know, that's the way it works. You give the enemy legal right to attack you when you violate Torah. And you can't be strong because then he's going to come and attack you. The more you walk in Torah, the stronger you get. And that is very important to understand. Because we are told in the beginning, chapter 4 of Genesis, that we are to overcome sin. It's knocking at your door, and you are to overcome it. And the way we overcome it is through the Word of God. What did Yeshua use to overcome the evil one? He used the Word. He quoted Torah. That was his defense. That was his weapon of choice, was Torah. So should it be with us. Okay? So when you have it in you, you get strong. You start overcoming sin. People start coming to you, and you have left the world. You no longer look like the world. You no longer try to fit in. You no longer do the same things, and people start looking at you differently. It's uncomfortable, let me tell you. when you look different in this community, in this country, it's tough. You get singled out, you get picked on by all sorts of people. It's a tough place to be, but you're supposed to do it. I mean, going back to Genesis 4:7, I'll even quote that verse for you. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. In 1 John chapter 2, 15, part A, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, you got to love the people, okay? But you don't have to love the world. You don't have to think it's okay to do the things in the world. Don't do them, as a matter of fact. For loving things in the world has made us look like the world. We are trying to come out of different things, Christianity, Catholicism, whatever it might be, and we're trying to leave stuff behind. Okay, a mindset that was contrary to the Word of God, we're trying to leave behind. We shouldn't be bringing it with us. And so, leave it behind. Come out from among them, Paul says, and be separate. Okay, that means look different, dress different, act different, celebrate on different days. Be different, which is following Torah. And that's hard to do. It doesn't take very long to lose your identity either. How many people do we see in this walk? They come into Messianic Judaism and they're on fire and they're walking in Torah and they have the Spirit. And next thing you know, they've converted to Judaism. Or they say, no, I'm going to go back to the church. A lot. You see it a lot. Okay? They lose that fire. They lose their identity. And it's just not right. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual. the Torah is spiritual? Aren't we looking for spiritual things? Look for the Torah. It's spiritual. Paul says it's spiritual. You want the Spirit? There it is. Get Torah. All right? Now, when you hear these words, those who are of the Spirit hear the words that are spoken by Paul, by anyone that speaks Scripture. It takes the Spirit to understand spiritual things, Paul says in Corinthians. The flesh understands flesh real easy. The world understands the world real easy. But when it comes to the truth in God's Word, it takes the Spirit. You have to have the Spirit. In 1 John verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now we have to understand, Scripture says what truth is. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 142, it says, the Torah is truth. That's what it says. The Torah is truth. Okay? So that's the truth. The spirit of truth. The spirit of Torah. The Torah is truth. That's what it is. That's the standard. Okay? And then you have the spirit of error. What's the spirit of error? Violating Torah. It's pretty simple. Doing it is hard. Okay, so we'll end with, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. Then I will welcome you. Then. Pretty neat, huh? What a great thing to be welcomed by the Lord. What a great thing to be hugged and loved by Him. Sure, He'll take you in when you're not perfect. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but you have to make the desire to come out. And it's an ongoing process. You can't just do it today and be covered forever. You have to keep coming out. You have to keep moving forward, so to speak. You have to keep being different. It's called sanctification. The more you walk in Torah, the more sanctified you become. The closer you get to Him, the more you know Him, the more He welcomes you, and the more He calls you friend. And what a great place to be, is a friend of God. Amen? All right. Shabbat shalom.